We'll talk to you tomorrow. Right next, coming up next, is the Peter B. Collins Show after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Think of obesity as an STD, socially transmitted disease of enabling. CBS's Barry Bagnato with the latest research.
This restaurant is filled with people talking, laughing, having a bite. They probably don't know it, but they're affecting each other's weight. An intriguing New England Journal of Medicine study finds if your friends, spouses, and siblings become obese, your obesity risk rises substantially. Men have the most influence on men, women on women. What stunned the researchers most is that the effect for neighbors and for long-distance relationships is the same.
The study says if your friends are thin, you're also more likely to be thin. In Iraq today, when word got out that Iraq had beaten South Korea's soccer team in the Asian Games, like the team members who play together, people of all stripes, Sunnis, Shiites, Kurds, and others celebrated in the streets, celebrating together until terrorists ruined the party.
Thousands of people took to the streets of Baghdad after the national soccer team beat South Korea to reach the final against Saudi Arabia. The first attack happened near a well-known ice cream parlor and killed at least 30 people. And then shortly after that, another suicide bomber hit dozens of vehicles filled with people celebrating near an army checkpoint.
CBS's Alan Pizzi in Baghdad, where 50 people died in all. President Bush's reaction to a report calling for improvements in the health care given to American combat veterans. Good suggestions. Let's get it done.
The spirit of that report is anytime we have somebody hurt, they deserve the best possible care. And their family needs strong support. We've provided that in many cases, but to the extent we've had, we're going to adjust.
Two Senate office buildings are open again after brief evacuations on Capitol Hill for smoke in the building. Still no word what made the smoke, but no conflagration. The smoke's gone. Buildings open again. Existing home sales down nearly 4% last month. The only good news is inventories were smaller, which may increase demand.
Sales of existing homes fell for a fourth straight month in June, the slowdown worst in the Northeast. This from the National Association of Realtors, where Walter Maloney points out the average price did rise 0.3%.
This is the first time in 11 months we've seen the median price up from a year ago. And we've also had a slight decline in the inventory of homes the market.
But economists say that's because it's harder for subprime borrowers to get mortgages, more foreclosures, freezing loans, so there aren't many low-price houses selling. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A building contractor in Toronto drilling a hole in a beam to run a wire saw a package in the wall. Turns out it was a dead baby about 4 months old wrapped in newspaper from 80 years ago. There was still aroma, so it may or may not go back that far. Autopsy is pending. On Wall Street, the Dow up about 68 points today. The Nasdaq gained 8. Oil at $65.88 a barrel, up $2.32. This is CBS News.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy four Michelin or VF Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details, or see participating dealer before 9:30 or 7.
Experts say it's high time foreign foods were put to the same requirements American farmers and producers face.
China's government is promising to improve inspections of food exports, but Public Citizen's Lori Wallach says our own trade agreements with other nations are much to blame for any bad food that ends up on your table.
Right now, Congress is speeding to address the public's concern
about the safety of our imported food products. At the same time, Congress is considering four pending expansions of NAFTA-like trade agreements that would lead to even more food imports.
Those same agreements, she says, call for our own often safer food products to be sent to other countries. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Think Monterey, California, and sea otters come to mind, playfully rolling in the swells, cracking oysters with rocks on their bellies. But jumbo squid are squirting through the waves these days, 100-pounders, 7 feet long. In the last 16 years, jumbo squid have expanded their territory from the equatorial Pacific up to California. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm a craving. You're familiar with my work. Everything's hunky-dory, and wham, you got a craving only a Subway sandwich can satisfy. Like wham, a Subway melt loaded with melty cheese, bacon, ham, and turkey. And there's wham, the meat-nificent chicken and bacon ranch, and the tasty tuna sub. And all I can say is you can run, but you cannot hide.
When a craving hits, only a mouth-watering Subway sub will do.
Wham! Gotcha!
Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Does that mean I'm not so humble? What does that mean exactly? Boy, when we go on the air, I'm going to have it out against Peter. Oh, we're on the air? Oh, never mind.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Yes, I am.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
And there is no place that I would rather be. Sitting in again for another scintillating 3 hours worth of the Peter B. Collins Show, broadcasting this week live from Houston, Texas. And as PBC said at the top, no. This is not Peter B. This is Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly, citizen investigative journalist, blogger, sitting in this week as radio host, being the broadcast media. All right, Peter's on vacation. He's on for another 2 weeks or so. I'm here just till the end of the week, broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, from the facilities of KPFT Pacifica in Houston, 90.1 FM, to our friends out in Monterey, California, Coos Bay, Oregon, Eureka, California, Portland, Humboldt, whoever the hell else is listening in on the air, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe via peterbcollins.com. We will, of course, be taking your calls throughout the day at 8885-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Make some noise so I don't have to. The more you talk, the less you have to listen to me. As ever, a huge show ahead of us. We've got Mike Lux coming up, president and co-founder of Progressive Strategies. We've got Max Blumenthal from HuffingtonPost.com with a great Chicken Hawk report. If you haven't caught this one, we'll have some audio from this great video of his when he went to visit some of the college Republicans who just don't have the time to join up with that war they love. Also, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com may be here. Will she be here? We don't know yet. We hope she will. And Margie Burns, Brad Blog's D.C. correspondent, will be here with a very interesting investigative report, something that she's found in the library concerning the old compassionate conservative phrase. John Gideon, of course, will join us with the latest daily voting news during our daily election integrity hour. Ellen Tyson, also of Voters Unite, will be joining us as well concerning the hearings today in the Senate over Senator Dianne Feinstein's 1487 election reform bill. And boy, is it not good. She's going to give us the news on that. We've got a lot of news, unfortunately, breaking today all over the place, particularly in the House and Senate, of course. The Judiciary Committee has now sent contempt charges for Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton to the full House for a vote. House Judiciary Committee formally recommended criminal contempt charges, says Raw Story, against former White House counsel Harriet Myers and Chief of Staff Josh Bolton for their failure to comply with an investigation into the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. The charges were presented in a resolution that, if passed by the entire House as a whole, would present a case for criminal proceedings to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. But the Justice Department has said it will not pursue the charges because the White House has invoked executive privilege. The vote in the House Judiciary Committee was on along party lines, 22-17. Chairman John Conyers introduced a resolution accompanied by a 52-page report outlining the criminal charges against these administration officials. The hearing also brought harsh denunciation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who Democrats accused of obfuscating his own role in the attorney firing scandals. And indeed, he has been doing that. If any of you guys caught these hearings yesterday with Gonzalez in the Senate Judiciary Committee, it is unbelievable. It is almost impossible to know where to start. There was so much news that came out of those damn hearings. He was lying. He was making stuff up. He was forgetting things. And he essentially came out. This is one of the most, but like I say, it's hard to know where to start. We're going to have some audio later on this. But this is one of the most remarkable pieces, I thought, to come out of this from Think Progress. Reported that in his Senate testimony yesterday, Alberto Gonzalez was asked by Senator Arlen Specter to address inaccuracies in his 2006 testimony in relation to the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program. There has not been any serious disagreement about the program that the president has confirmed, Gonzalez said at the time in 2006. But Arlen Specter recalled that former Deputy Attorney General James Comey testified to a much different version of events. Comey said he had refused to sign on to an extension of the program, quote, amid concerns about its legality and oversight. And this was, if you guys missed this, an incredible piece of testimony from Comey describing the hospital visit, the late night hospital visit that Gonzalez and Andrew Card, chief of staff at the time, had made to Ashcroft, who was at the time the attorney general, to get him to sign on to the warrantless wiretapping program. And because Comey, who was leading the who was acting attorney general at the time, refused to sign on to this thing, said it was in violation of the law. And when he got a message from Ashcroft's wife that Gonzalez and Card were coming over to the hospital bed to essentially strong arm Ashcroft into signing on to this thing, Comey flew over there, called the FBI, got them in there, said, don't let Ashcroft sign anything. It was absolutely incredible. Well, in the hearings yesterday, Gonzalez says Comey was referring to other intelligence activities that took place that night in that hospital room. By the way, Ashcroft, surprisingly, did not sign on to what they were trying to strong-arm him to sign on to, the wireless tapping. So Gonzalez was appearing to confirm that the Bush administration is operating more than one warrantless domestic spying program. In a heated back-and-forth with Specter, Gonzalez stated This is yesterday. The disagreement that occurred was about other intelligence activities, and the reason for the visit to the hospital was about other intelligence activities. It was not about the terrorist surveillance program that the president announced to the American people. Yesterday's testimony contradicts what Gonzalez had said previously. In June, Gonzalez claimed that both he and Comey were referring to the same domestic spying program. Mr. Comey's testimony related to a highly classified program which the president confirmed to the American people some time ago, Gonzalez said then. But if Gonzalez's testimony yesterday is accurate, he is now confirming the existence of a new administration spying program. What the hell is going on here? Well, moving back to the House, and Conyers' referral with 52 pages outlining things that Gonzalez has done wrong. Jerry Nadler had said that they have sent the Attorney General here to lie. He's talking about the White House, to lie and insult us with his lies. Well, unfortunately, this is going to the House floor. They may vote to hold these two officials, Bolton and Myers, in contempt of Congress, but the Justice Department has already said they won't allow the district attorney from D.C. to bring charges.
U.S. attorney.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
District attorney.
U.S. attorney, that's right. The U.S. attorney, Jeffrey Taylor, I believe is his name, in D.C., to bring charges because the White House has invoked executive privileges. Folks, we are heading towards a constitutional confrontation here. You may not hear it on the news. You may not see it on MSNBC, although they did run a brief story on it today, I noticed. Good for them amidst fires and crime and whatever other stuff they think is more important. But, yeah. I think we're heading towards a constitutional crisis here, and as we heard from Elizabeth de la Vega last week, former federal prosecutor, she said that if the White House officially says that it instructs the Justice Department to not allow Taylor to proceed, that it's in and of itself would be an impeachable charge. Impeachable charge. In the meantime, there's talk of inherent contempt, another routine that can be brought in the House. And both Arlen Specter was quoted in the Times, and I can confirm, having spoken with someone in the House last week, that there is, in fact, a jail cell in the basement of the Senate, in the basement of the Capitol, that can be used if they decide to bring inherent contempt charges, in which case they do a hearing actually in the Congress. And if they decide to hold him in contempt, then or her, as the case may be, Myers or Bolton, they can lock him up in the basement of the Senate. Sounds good to me. Where the hell is all this going? We don't know. We'll try to unravel it all in the days, hours, and weeks ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to be back with Mike Lux very momentarily to talk about what he's doing online. Legislation 2.0? What the hell is that? We'll find out right after this.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and brush the sky.
All right, we're back here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for PBC, who is across the pond overseas for the next couple of weeks. I'll be here through the end of the week. Christine Kraft will be taking over for me next week. We've got Mike Lux on the line. He's the co-founder of Progressive Strategies, a political consulting firm. Before that, he was senior vice president for political action at People for the American Way. Oh, my old friends. And the PFAW Foundation and PFAW Voters Alliance. He served in the Clinton White House as a special assistant for public liaison. He joins us today to talk not about voting, which we will talk about in our Election Integrity Hour later tonight, but instead to talk about Legislation 2.0. Interesting idea. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin will host a week-long forum on OpenLeft.com, a progressive strategy blog, to help craft a new broadband policy for America. This Legislation 2.0 over at OpenLeft.com is the first of its kind and will serve as an experiment in using the Internet to bring together multiple voices in the legislation process. What the heck does that mean, Mike Lux?
Well, you know, it's an experiment that we're trying, and my partner at Open Left, Matt Stoller, was the one that came up with the idea, and he went to Senator Durbin with it, and Senator Durbin got very excited about the idea. But what we wanted to do was to bring folks together in an open forum. I mean, one of the big problems with people's cynicism about politics and about insiders is that everything tends to be done in secret. There are public hearings about things, but everybody knows that the public hearings are for show.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that the debate on the floor of the House and the Senate is for show, that nobody's really, who's there is paying much attention to it. And that all the deals are cut and the bills are written and the money's allocated behind closed doors. Our thought was, let's at least open it up this far, and let's have before a bill is drafted, let's have a senator who's working on it, and in this case, Durbin's the number two ranking senator in the Democratic Party. So let's have the key senator who's working on it spend some real time, some quality time with people online, out in the open, and talk about his goals for the bill, and hear from whoever wants to join the discussion. And
we've got
representatives of interest groups joining the discussion, but we've had all kinds of individuals get into it as well. So it's been a really exciting process.
It's a very interesting idea, and I can see pros and cons to it. One, it might actually force the legislators to actually read the bills before they pass them.
That is true.
That would be an upside. Here's a downside I see. In working on the Rush Holtz election reform bill, I know that they actually did reach out to a bunch of folks, election integrity advocates. I was able to put in some input myself, and I wonder, that bill itself may now be in serious jeopardy, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you had so many folks paying attention, concerned about the details, and fighting over them, frankly. That in no small part, I know there was other forces at work as well here, but, you know, can you discuss this to death, in other words, you know, to the point where, you know, people begin to dig their heels in and you actually don't get anything done because there are so many chefs in the kitchen, so to speak?
You know, that is certainly a danger, and God knows I've been through that before. I was in the Clinton White House when we were doing health care, so I've definitely been there. Done that, but I think having a open discussion with people for a few days, which is essentially what we're talking about, four nights in a row that Durbin is coming on from 7 to 7:45 Eastern. So it's 45 minutes a night for 4 days.
He's actually there live.
Having the sort of discussion around that, because obviously people have been coming on and posting things during the day and reacting.
And he's actually there live for 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But to have that kind of dialogue going into the bill writing process, I think is going to be a very, very useful thing. And there's no question that there are, you can talk legislation to death and you can get down into the weeds and fight over sometimes the smallest of details, although, you know, as we both know, with some of these issues, the details are the important thing. That's certainly true with health care. It's certainly true with election reform. But you can get lost in the weeds. But our hope is that if we do this in advance, and if we really air this out in an open way, so that you know, all sides can be represented in this kind of debate, and then from that come out with something that's really been talked through, we hope and believe that will give it momentum going forward.
It's certainly an interesting idea, and I know you guys are working on broadband policy right now. I guess that has to do with the net neutrality bill, and people can participate themselves just by going to openleft.com?
Yep, absolutely.
Very cool.
There's instructions for how to sign on and the whole bit.
All right. Well, keep us up to date on how it works. Interesting experiment and a good one to increase public participation and transparency, according to Dick Durbin. And I agree. Mike Lux, thanks for all you're doing, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Brad.
You bet. Take care and good luck. All right. Interesting idea. Openleft.com. Go check it out. We're going to be right back with Max Blumenthal from Huffington Post here on the Peter B. Collins Show after this.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
ain't those chicken hawks either at the College Republicans. We're going to speak momentarily here with Max Blumenthal of HuffingtonPost.com on his great report on the college. Did a great video report over at HuffingtonPost.com. Stopped in, spoke with some of the chicken hawks who support this war still, but for some reason, they don't want to sign up and fight. All right, still more numbers, by the way, have been released from this week's Washington Post poll, and the latest slew of figures contain an eye-opening fact. President Bush is within 1 point of tying the highest disapproval rating of Richard Nixon's entire tenure. The latest Washington Post ABC News survey shows that 65% of Americans disapprove of Bush's job performance, matching his all-time low, writes the Post. In polls conducted by the Post or Gallup going back to 1938, only once has a president exceeded that level of public animosity, and that was Richard M. Nixon, who had 66% 4 days before he resigned. All right, we've got Max Blumenthal on the line here, and boy, let's see. Well, I guess there's about 30% maybe at best who support George W. Bush. I think they might have all been at the College Republican convention recently. Max Blumenthal is a Nation Institute Puffin Foundation writing fellow whose work appears regularly in The Nation, a winner of the U.S. Annenberg Online Journalism Award. There's an Annenberg Online Journalism Award? Oh, man, I want one of those. He's also a research fellow at Media Matters for America. Oh, Max, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, Brad, it's good to be here.
thanks for stopping by here tonight. I know we had some time confusion, East Coast, West Coast problems, so I do appreciate you making the time to be here, my friend.
No problem. Hope you don't mind. I'm in a Hampton Inn lobby, and there's some great music by David Hasselhoff playing here on the loudspeaker.
Oh, that'll be lovely. Please ask them to crank that up.
I'll tell them not to hassle the Hoff.
Hey, there you go. Can't get enough of the Hasselhoff, as far as I'm concerned. Hey, where are you? Actually, where was this College Republicans convention?
It was in Northern Virginia at a hotel, the Sheraton National Hotel, which is owned by right-wing Korean cult leader Sun Myung-moon, who also owns the Washington Times and the third-largest sushi distribution company in the world. and he hosted the College Republicans. It's interesting, though, this hotel is right across the street from the Arlington National Cemetery, and I was shooting this video where I wanted to ask them, these young next, you know, the future leaders of the GOP, if they supported the war so much, why don't they serve? And so I decided to, you know, stop at Section 60 of Arlington National Cemetery before heading to the College Republican National Convention. And it was really poignant. I hadn't been there for years since my grandfather who fought in World War II was buried. And so there were all these freshly interred soldiers from the war in Iraq who had just been buried, and they had cleared out a new field for more of them scheduled to arrive and haven't been killed yet.
Did you happen to see any of the College Republicans visiting across the street there?
They didn't really have the war on their minds. I met some College Republicans, though, on my way in the parking lot, and they were taking pulls off a bottle of Jim Beam, and one of them it reported to me that he's from the town where Jim Beam is made. And then they said, and I said, where are the ladies? And they said, well, we don't have any, but we have cigars.
Oh, man.
So that was sort of the extent of their interest. And,
go ahead.
I went in and talked to them about the war, and it sort of caught them off guard. And so they started sort of lip syncing these discredited White House talking points about fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here.
Yeah, and let me actually, we got some audio clips from your report. Let's play a little bit of that. This is why Max Blumenthal found the College Republicans support the war. Oops. Oh, hang on. Learning how to do this. There we go. All right. I think we're ready. Let's try it out.
We are all supportive of the war. We all believe that it's very important to win the war and to fight al-Qaeda in Iraq so that we're not fighting them here in the United States.
Not even just al-Qaeda, the Islamic fascists. I like the Republican standpoint, fight them over there, not over here.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're doing right now, and we should keep doing it.
Basically, I think what people don't understand is if it's not fought in Iraq, if we don't win over there, it's going to happen here.
I think, frankly, we went there because Al-Qaeda was already there. They may not have the force they have now, but they were there. And essentially, if we leave there, we give them a stronghold.
But while these college Republicans supported the war in Iraq with all their hearts, they seemed reluctant to participate in it.
Why are you not fighting them over there?
Why am I not fighting them over there? Because I'm in college right now.
Do you plan to enlist?
I haven't ruled it out.
Are you going to serve?
I've thought about it. Thinking about it. Undecided.
Undecided. Why aren't you serving just currently?
Well, I'm an undergraduate, and I just had a scholarship for Fulbright teachers, and I just didn't have any strong urge.
Why am I not serving?
I don't know. I mean, I really support this country strongly, and I didn't enlist. I mean, there's not much else I can say. I don't think you can't talk about this issue if you're not serving.
What might not convince me not to join is if somehow I become, like, a really good, like, speaker and stuff like that. That's what would convince me not to join.
Yeah.
The thing that would convince me to join is if, like, something even bigger happened.
If you support the war, why are you not serving in the military?
Yeah, no answer. If he becomes like a really good speaker, then he won't sign up. But if something really big happens, then maybe he will.
Yeah, if he becomes a really good speaker and stuff like that.
And I think that's the guy. We got this clip also. Isn't that the guy who's got the gay clip later on?
He comes out of the closet to me later, and his mannerisms changed distinctly.
Yes, they did, and we'll play that in a little bit. Did you find anybody there, Max Blumenthal, who was willing to sign up? Well, who wasn't closeted? Okay, that's you. That's what you say, not me. Did they? did any of them? Were any of them willing to sign up? Any of them said, "Oh yes, I'm going to." Any of them?
Okay. One guy told me that his family had a long tradition of military service. A student from Brown. And he wanted to join the officer corps, which is not exactly, it's definitely joining. He doesn't want to see combat, but he wants to participate. And then he called the rest of the participants in the conference chicken hawks without any provocation and launched into a tirade against them. We just didn't have time to include it. We wanted to include it, but it just didn't fit.
Wait,
it was really interesting.
He was willing to call them chicken hawks?
He said, you know, I don't want to be mean or anything, but I think these people are chicken hawks.
And yet he's a college Republican.
He's one of them. He's an interesting guy. You know, he's got, not all of them are Neanderthals, but by and large, these kids I talk to, it's 9 out of 10 of them, support the war, probably support a strike on Iran as well. Support any war that we're going to go to, but they refuse to. They will have no desire to serve in it, haven't even thought about it. And the reason that they go to this conference is different than the college Democrats. College Democrats, it's just about campus activism. These guys are trying to get plugged in for high-powered jobs later on. The college Republicans is all about funneling these cadres who've been indoctrinated into the conservative corporate Republican mindset. Into the the Republican apparatus, and there's also Young Americans for Freedom, which pipelines the young conservative cadres into the conservative movement, into the Heritage Foundation, and the different think tanks. Part of the reason why the Republicans have been kicking the Democrats' asses for so long is because they start grooming these kids young, and they have them they have a uniform mindset, and they're determined to work for the rest of their lives in the party.
And indeed, they must, I'm guessing these guys see Karl Rove as a hero. He's one of the original college Republicans going back to, 1973 or so when he was working with CREEP, with the committee to reelect President Nixon at the time?
Exactly. Karl Rove was almost fired from the committee to reelect Nixon because of so many dirty tricks he had planned, he had done. And he was the president of the College Republican National Committee in 1972, Jack Abramoff. Former College Republican National Committee president. Ralph Reed was also the president. And the current president, Paul Gurley, there's a really interesting story about him. He had signed thousands of letters that went out to old ladies across America asking them to send $1,000 is they would mail them an American flag lapel, and they'd tell them if they prayed over the lapel and sent $1,000 to the College Republican National Committee, President Bush would wear it at the Republican National Convention. Of course, it was a scam, and they stole tens of thousands of dollars from old ladies with dementia. And this guy was subsequently elected president of the College Republican National Committee. So they're a great bunch of moral leaders.
Of course they are, and where Karl Rove was even too dirty for Nixon. I can't believe that. Let me try to get one more clip in here before we've got to go to a break, and then we'll come back with Max Blumenthal. This is the reason why they won't sign up to fight over there, because a lot of them seem to have health problems for some reason. Take a listen.
For some reason, the college Republicans I met had a curiously high level of health problems.
I have asthma, so it's kind of a hard thing to get in if you have health conditions like that.
You were in ROTC. Are you planning to serve?
I unfortunately cannot because of medical reasons.
So you support the war? And are you planning on enlisting?
No, I'm thinking about the reserves. I applied to the Air Force Academy, but I got rejected for medical reasons.
Are you personally planning on enlisting?
Unfortunately, I can't due to a medical reason. I had an injury, and I'm sure there's a couple others, but if I could, I would.
I actually tried. I have knee problems. I was a catcher for years in baseball.
I'm more career-oriented, I guess, than actually serve.
Yeah, yeah. So you're kind of like a Cheney Republican, like you have better things to do.
I don't think it's for me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah. Right, everyone has their role.
Yeah. And, I mean, I was a football player and all that kind of stuff, but then I don't know if at the same time if I can handle some of the training that they go through and some of the intense stuff they have to do. So
he was a football player and all that kind of stuff, but he can't handle it. And that one guy, he says he was a catcher for you. It was kind of hard to hear, but he said he was a catcher for years in baseball, but now he's got bad knees and he can't jump.
He has knee problems. He can't do it. He doesn't want to catch any bullets. My favorite guy is the guy who says, I have some medical problems. I was diagnosed with, you know, all these medical problems, and I'm sure there are some other ones in there.
Yes, that he doesn't even know, but there's some other reasons that he's sure would keep him out.
Yeah, you know.
It's the same thing I found, when I was talking with folks down in Camp Casey 2 years ago in the summer of 2005, asking these same guys who were out there protesting, well, if you're in favor of the war, why the hell aren't you signed up? Oh, they've all got health problems. Oh, they're in school. These guys are unbelievable, Max.
I saw your blog, and you actually, didn't you have a photo of Karl Rove visiting those pro-Bush demonstrators?
We do. That was actually, he was glad-handing and saying hello, even as the floodwaters were overtaking New Orleans at that same very moment, Max.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
pretty college Republican of them.
Great people, aren't they? All right, hang on, Max. We're going to be back with a few more clips. Perhaps your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for PBC here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Much more ahead.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
How about your son? How about your daughter? How come it's always poor folk who get shuffled off to slaughter? If you're so gung-ho, why don't you just go?
All right, we're back on the PBC show. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B., blogger turned radio host, because we got no choice but to be the media. One of those folks being the media. Oh, and by the way, that's the song Sons and Daughters by Jesse Dian. Fabulous song that was written in Crawford at Camp Casey in the summer of 05. If you go to Brad Blog and search for Dian, D-Y-E-N, you'll find a great video of that song. It's really good. It's really moving. Anyway, speaking of being the media here, we're speaking with Max Blumenthal, who's got his latest report at HuffingtonPost.com on his adventures with college Republicans who are trying to stay out of the war. Max, there was, aside from the illnesses they faced, this is reasons why they couldn't go fight despite supporting the war, and the fact that they're fighting over there so we don't have to fight here. One of the things that jumped out at me was this comment from this one woman who said, what people don't understand is, and then she went on to list off the usual White House talking points, and actually the Sean Hannity talking points. That is, don't we hear that all the time from Sean Hannity? What people need to understand, or from Tony Snow, what people don't understand, all the college Republicans understand it, but everyone else doesn't, I guess.
Well, I guess they have contempt for what people understand. What people do understand, they don't. They have contempt for that, and it's just a sweeping majority that understands that this flypaper theory is the stuff of indoctrinated, mind-washed college Republicans. It was interesting, too, that girl, I couldn't show it on camera, she was holding a copy in her hands of David Horowitz, Indoctrination U. You know, it's just so funny, you know, they're getting these little David Horowitz books. These are the only people that buy books by David Horowitz.
And now how did they, when they found out that you were not one of them, they decided that you had to go?
Oh, yeah. There was like a fracas at the end. And another thing that, you know, wasn't captured on camera was David Horowitz's entrance. I was trying to get him on camera, and he had, you know, a team of kids sort of protecting from me. Because they had realized who I was, and he didn't want to be embarrassed again, I guess, by talking to the media. They just, I guess, someone had recognized me from my first video on the Conservative Political Action Committee when I, you know, confronted Michelle Malkin and Ann Coulter. And so they sequestered me in a corner and refused to allow me and my partner to tape. And so I decided to kind of, I don't know, I was bored, so I just started doing interpretive dance.
How'd that go over?
I don't know. I was thinking of doing the Roger Rabbit, and I just settled on interpretive dance.
All right. Well, listen, let me get this last clip in here real quickly. Of course, they were talking about gay issues and how it's just wrong to be gay or something. And this one guy, well, he's not gay, he says.
Can I preface it really quick?
Yeah, real quick.
There was a Christian leadership conference next door. I didn't know it. And these evangelical high school students saw that I had a camera and just came up and demanded to be interviewed and launched into tirades against homosexuals that their adult that adults had apparently implanted in their brains.
And was this one of the evangelicals or one of the young Republicans?
This is one of the evangelicals, and the girl you'll hear too is in the leadership conference with him.
Okay. Well, actually, I think I only have him here in this clip, he's not gay. He knows this for a fact. Here you go.
Everybody has at one time in their life has had inclination towards the other, towards the same sex. But just because you have inclination does not mean you're gay. Because if you have inclination, because you're curious and stuff like that, but if you accept it, and you just suppress your feelings and you pray about it to God and you know that you're not, you're so much stronger than somebody.
Have you accepted it?
Yes, I have accepted it. I've prayed about it to God and I know for a fact that I am not gay.
Congratulations.
You couldn't see me off camera, but I was just trying so hard not to bust out laughing.
And you're right. He totally, because he was talking about the war earlier, but when he started claiming to not be gay, he became, real light in his loafers, Max.
Yeah, his mannerisms changed dramatically, and he became, it was like he was co-hosting Men on Film or something from A Living Color. And also, when he said everyone has inclinations to the same sex, he kept motioning towards me, which made me really uncomfortable. I don't know if he was trying to take me upstairs or something.
Wow, did you get his number?
I had to call his dad and ask for his number, actually, because he was only 16.
He was only 16?
His dad said he was up in his room trying to pray away the gay.
He spends a lot of time.
These are high school students. It's actually very sad.
It is. No, it really is.
They're going to an evangelical school, and they're not allowed to be who they are. This kid is gay, and he probably had some talk with the guidance counselor who was standing next to him off camera, and she told him, you have to pray that you will become straight. And, you know, what's going on inside you, those feelings are Satan. So this kid thinks he's infected by Satan.
Unbelievable. I think I have time for one more. It's a 20-second clip. Tom DeLay speaking about abortion and immigration, conflating the two unbelievably. Here we go.
It doesn't affect you. I contend it affects you in immigration.
Abortion does.
If we had those 40 million children that were killed over the last 30 years, we wouldn't need the illegal immigrants to fill the jobs that they are doing today. Think about it.
Illegal immigration is because of abortion, Max Blumenthal.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we had those fetuses around, they'd be making beds and cutting lawns.
Oh, man. Brother, you did some good work out there. Thank you for getting out, hitting the road, and being the media and doing what you do and raising the hell that you raise. This report, folks, can see over at HuffingtonPost.com. And you also have your own site, Max, right?
And Brad, can I tell you, late tonight, a new video is coming up on Huffington Post. It should be up in the morning, West Coast time, on Christians United for Israel and Christian Zionism. And Tom DeLay also stars in this video, explaining to me the importance of the rapture. And so I encourage everyone to check that out. My blog is maxblumenthal.com, and that video, a YouTube of that video, will be up within 24 hours.
Rock and roll, brother. Keep up the good work that you're doing, and at least it's fun.
Yeah, keep it going, Brad.
Thanks, man. All right, Max Blumenthal from Hampton Inn somewhere or another. Be in the media like we ask everyone to do. Check out maxblumenthal.com for new video tonight and for that full College Republican video. Unbelievable. All right, Margie Burns coming up after this break. You're listening to Brad on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Obesity is socially contagious.
Your friend's weight change affects your own weight change,
says a surprising study.
And this can be up or it can be down.
I'm Barry Bagnetto in Washington.
A presidential commission seeks big changes in health care for veterans.
They deserve the best.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Our genes have an influence, to be sure, but new research finds that the people we're closest to might have an even stronger influence on our weight.
Friends share stories and meals at this crowded Washington restaurant. Their weight may be more affected by the dish than the dishes.
Obesity actually spreads through the social network from person to person to person.
A groundbreaking New England Journal of Medicine study finds
a person's chances of becoming obese increase by 57% if they have a friend who becomes obese.
There's a similar but lesser effect among spouses and siblings, says researcher James Fowler. And surprisingly, it exists even in long-distance relationships, suggesting shared ideas about weight matter, not shared eating habits. Co-author Nicholas Christakis sees enormous implications for dealing with America's obesity epidemic.
Treating people in groups may be more effective than treating them individually.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Important news for the millions who can't eat peanuts or even get near them because they have a severe allergic reaction. Food scientist Mohammed Ahmeda at the North Carolina Agricultural and Technical University says he's developed a simple process to make a peanut that's allergen-free.
The peanut looks and tastes and smells similar to the regular peanut.
The school says food companies show strong interest in licensing the process. Now this.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Granger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch, or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Wounded soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan often endure frustrating delays and endless red tape. Today, a commission appointed by President Bush called for sweeping changes.
The panel's first recommendation addresses the bureaucratic runaround that many service members and veterans complain about.
Gone are the countless frustrating calls for appointments. Gone is filling out the same paperwork over and over again.
So Commission Co-Chair Donna Shalala says the panel's calling for the establishment of a recovery plan for every seriously injured member of the military, and the appointment of recovery coordinators to implement the plan for every service member. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
This afternoon, the president went running with two recovering soldiers who lost legs overseas. At a congressional hearing, horror stories about the treatment of those with injured psyches. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Overwhelmed by the number of wounded soldiers coming back from Iraq, military doctors may be giving those with mental problems short shrift.
The current DOD system
assumes soldiers are malingering.
Paul Sullivan of Veterans for Common Sense was among those telling Congress today that thousands with post-traumatic stress disorder are being told they have a personality disorder instead and being discharged without medical care or disability payments. Former Army Specialist Jonathan Towne says he was fine before a rocket exploded above his head.
I did not have memory loss. I did not have endless sleepless nights.
He called it an outrage that he and so many other veterans are being treated this way. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Baghdad today, there was something to celebrate. The Iraqi soccer team's first ever advance to the Asian Cup finals was quickly overshadowed by suicide bombers who saw an opportunity. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi.
Thousands of people took to the streets of Baghdad after the national soccer team beat South Korea to reach the final against Saudi Arabia. The first attack happened near a well-known ice cream parlor and killed at least 30 people. And then shortly after that, another suicide bomber hit dozens of vehicles filled with people celebrating near an army checkpoint.
In the troubled Tour de France, leader Michael Rasmussen has been taken out of the race by his team, which says he violated internal rules. Rasmussen missed random drug tests in May and June. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details, or see participating dealer before 9:30 07.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
We've secretly replaced the White House press corps with actual reporters.
From your lips to God's ears, Jon Stewart.
Raising a fuss and a holler here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Two more big hours ahead of us. Margie Burns, speaking of replacing the White House press corps. BradBlog's D.C. correspondent Margie Burns will be here with us shortly. Talk about her new report over at BradBlog.com on the history of the phrase compassionate conservative. Also trying to keep an eye on the bradblog.com chat room going over there. The top item that talks about today's show, you can hit comments and you can jump into the discussion going on over there. Where Agent 99 is mining the store and says, yes, lock them together, punishment of the first order. She wants to throw Myers and Bolton into the jail cell that we now know is in the Capitol building in the basement. I have confirmed that with a high-ranking aide, we'll just say, in the U.S. House. And Spector, in fact, Arlen Spector, Republican, even referred to it himself yesterday. So let's see here. What else do I have to do before we get to a call? Oh, yes, give us a call. 888-888. That's 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And what other business do I have? Is that it? Margie Burns, Larissa Alexandrovna coming up next half hour. Let's take a quick call here from Patrick in Portland. Oh, Patrick, welcome to the PBC show.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. What's up, my friend?
One way to end the Republican Party forever would be to push the truth about 9/11 into the mainstream. And yet the Democrats don't seem to want to talk about these truly impeachable crimes.
And why do you think that is, Patrick?
Well, all the evidence is out that the Bush administration orchestrated 9/11. All people have to do is read the books of David Ray Griffin. And if I might share some of the evidence, some of these so-called 19 suicide hijackers are still alive. One even gave an interview with a London newspaper. And
What's the London newspaper that interviewed one of the 9/11 hijackers?
It was an Arabic one. It was an Arabic daily. And he was speaking from his home in Morocco, and he said, "You have no idea what it feels like to see your face on television."
And has anybody else confirmed that report other than this one Arabic newspaper out of London?
I think he gave several interviews, and there's been seven of them so far that have turned up alive.
Seven of them, but in no event has any more than one paper. Look, and I don't mean to be... Well, I do mean to be skeptical, because that is my job, frankly, to be skeptical, and I'm skeptical by nature. No video of these guys, I presume, and no more than a single source has said that any one of these folks are alive, correct?
As far as I know, there's no video. That would be a good idea. But moreover, there were no Arab names on any of the flight lists for that day, and that's just one problem with the official account.
Well, there are a lot of problems with the official account, and while I'm not necessarily one of these 9/11 truthers, I do appreciate the folks who are trying to go out there, get the story straight. I've seen, you know, a lot of back and forth. Often, unfortunately, stuff is single-sourced. It would be good if we could get, good, hard data on this stuff. But look, I know what you guys are up against, because I've been up against it with the election reform business, and people want to disregard stuff that they don't like to hear.
That's why the books of David Ray Griffin are so great, because he puts it all together, footnotes, he's so scholarly. He's written 20 books on theology as well. And this is the truly impeachable offense.
Fair enough. Okay, thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate it. And look, I want to get to a, where are we here? If I can get to this video here really quick. Speaking of impeachable offenses, unbelievable. This is a story from yesterday's Gonzalez testimony that has been underreported as far as I'm concerned. Let me see if I can fit this in. It's Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island asking about a memo from May of 2006 where they seem to have signed in the vice president's office to have permission to look at any and all DOJ investigations. It's a little hard to hear, but I think it's worth it. Give this a try here.
I then showed you the letter that Attorney General, the memorandum that Attorney General Ashcroft prepared. And that's the document that sort of kicked open the door from seven to hundreds of people to be involved and have discussions about ongoing criminal civil investigative matters. And that's what led to action about all of this. Now, you've had some time to think about this. You've indicated a desire to clean up the mess at the department. I would like to bring to your attention a May 4th, 2006 memorandum that is a subsequent document to the Ashcroft memorandum. This one is signed by you. If you don't mind, could you ask, give him a copy and put up the...
They're putting up some documents here from this memo signed by Alberto Gonzalez in May of 2006.
Here's what concerns me. In the Ashcroft memorandum, which was the subject of concern before, at the very, very end of the Ashcroft memorandum, as you'll remember, there was that paragraph under asterisks that changes the whole memorandum in front of it. As notwithstanding any procedures, limitations set forth above, the Attorney General may communicate directly with the President, Vice President, Counsel to the President, Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, and various others. And then it provides who the staff members can consult with. Directly with officials and staff of the Office of the President, Office of the Vice President, Office of the Counsel to the President, National Security Council, and so forth. Now, I took the position that that was pretty much kicking down a very important door that had protected the department from political influence. But I see in your May 4th, 2006 memorandum a number of things that concern me even more. The first is at the bottom of the first page where there is an asterisk footnote. which says at the bottom, for convenience, the executive functions of the vice presidency are referred to in this document as the Office of the Vice President, or OVP, and the provisions of this memorandum that apply with respect to communications with the EOP, Executive Office of the President, I assume that is, will apply in parallel fashion to communications with the Office of the Vice President. Let me ask you first, what on earth business does the Office of the Vice President have in the internal workings of the Department of Justice with respect to criminal investigations, civil investigations, and ongoing matters?
As a gentleman, I would say that's a good question.
Why is it here, then?
I'd have to go back and look at this.
I'd like to know where this came from and how that addition was made. And then if you look at the very back, the very last paragraph, once again, there's a final paragraph set off by asterisks that pretty much undercuts everything that was said in the previous enumerated paragraphs. And here, you can see the difference. It's almost identical with the previous memorandum, only it adds some things. Notwithstanding any procedure limitation set forth above, the Attorney General may communicate directly with the President, Vice President, so far same as the Ashcroft memorandum. Then you add their chiefs of staff, counsel to the President, then you add, or Vice President. Somebody took the trouble to write in counsel to the Vice President and provide that individual access to ongoing criminal investigations, ongoing civil investigations, and ongoing other investigative matters.
I don't know whether or not that in fact has happened, so I want to emphasize
part of what
that.
We do around here is to prevent things from happening.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
When you kick down doors, you invite people to do it, whether or not it's been done.
And I agree.
Well, there you go. That's an incredible statement. Basically, what they're saying is that the Office of the Vice President, his attorneys have been allowed access by Gonzalez himself, allowed access into criminal investigations of the Department of Justice. May of 2006. What was going on May of 2006? Investigation into Scooter Libby, investigation into Dick Cheney, and the disclosure for the first time in the history of this nation by our own government, the name of a covert CIA operative. The vice president and his attorneys had access to what was going on at the Department of Justice in that investigation and in many others. Gonzalez, of course, had no explanation, acted like he didn't even realize it was there. Just incredible. Where's it all going to go? Anybody's guess at this point. All right. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to be back in a moment with Margie Burns, D.C.'s Brad Bloggs, D.C. correspondent. And we got much more ahead. Stay tuned.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
There we go, folks. Okay, let's take a little traffic here. On a Wednesday afternoon, a little hump day traffic for you folks. Monterey, northbound 101, just before Highway 183. Heads up for rather, they're actually calling this a huge brown box. So this box is in the left lane, and vehicles are trying to swerve around it at this point. So CHP being called out to the scene there to try to deal with that situation. Also want to take a look at a crash, Monterey, southbound 101 at San Miguel Canyon Road. Looks like a vehicle into the center divide actually went up in the air and then landed, possibly almost, they thought it flipped over. It did not, but anyways, another vehicle involved. So they're calling that a two-car crash at this point. That's support brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas. Your great big...
We're back here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for PBC, who is out for the rest of the week and next week. But much more PBC show to come anyway while he's over across the pond enjoying a much-deserved vacation family reunion. We've got Margie Burns on the line, BradBlog.com's D.C. correspondent. She's been sitting in on House and Senate hearings. And, of course, today she's got a really, really fascinating story that you can read up, an exclusive, if you will, over at BradBlog.com, letting us know that George W. Bush did not invent the phrase compassionate conservative, and it's got a very interesting root that Margie Burns has been digging in the libraries and may have discovered. Oh, Margie, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you.
Very interesting story you've got here today.
Thank you.
Yes. I mean, this took some real digging. And how did you, first give us the headline here. This compassionate conservative, George Bush is not the first one to call himself that, is he?
Well, no, but that's kind of not the best way to put it, because I don't think the late Pope called himself that either.
That's true. Good point.
When he died, that people honored him with that tribute, or at least the New York Times writer did. That was back in 1978, and it was Pope Paul VI when he died. Of course, it was a big event, and reported on the front page of the New York Times, and there's a photograph of him posted in the blog on Brad Blog, as you know.
August 7, 1978, in the covering the death of the Pope, big photograph.
Yes. Yeah. And the caption reads, "Compassionate conservative."
Now, how does this tie to George W. Bush? What gives you the impression that the Bush team may have gotten their slogan from this story?
Well, I know they did, But it wasn't from the New York Times itself, of course. You have to go to a reference book, the New York Times obits. You know, for years and years, the New York Times obituaries. I mean, it's a big deal if, you know, when you die, you get your obituary into the New York Times, and then an even bigger deal if the obit gets saved in hardbound, or at least the hardbound copies that they, you know, hardbound volumes that they,
because they have,
put together.
They put out a special index, obit index,
yes,
every few years?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Every decade, I think, or at least that's the way it was. So this is the one for that decade. And during the same decade, one of George Bush's relatives passed away. It was George Herbert Walker, Jr., son of George Herbert Walker of golf and sailing and baseball fame, and father of George Herbert Walker III, who was appointed by Bush as ambassador to, I think, Hungary. I've forgotten, sort of at the moment. But anyway, so, you know, you go through the index, and there's Walker's name, and it's quite clear that these people were doing a little bit of anticipatory research. You know, this is, after all, leading up to the campaign, 2000 election campaign.
Right.
About a year and a half before the campaign really flared out into the open, I would say. Well, anyway, late 90s, 98 or so. So these people are, you know, White House personnel, Rove or whoever it is that does his work. I mean, the people known for attention to this kind of detail. And they've got to check out, you know, what might be said by opponents about George Bush's relatives or liabilities or whatever. So this is where you find it.
And so they, so you're suggesting that the team, the Oppo research team, would have gone back and started looking into his own family history see what their opposition would try to find on the Bushes at that point.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my take, you know, more broadly, and setting aside just the, I mean, you know, the very fact that this phrase is used when it is so clearly untrue. I mean, the, you know, the, when Mr. Bush, candidate Bush, Governor Bush of Texas, was running for the White House as a compassionate conservative, I mean, the most solid plank in his very short political career platform was that he had executed more people in Texas than any other governor had. I mean, you know, there were virtually no pardons. There was virtually no clemency. I mean, he just practically went out of his way to, you know, he executed people even when, as, you know, luck would have it, the Pope asked him not to. So, I mean, the very fact that they could adopt a label like this that had been used about a man like the late Pope Paul VI, you know, is kind of like a, I mean,
of course, and we
pretty much says it all. But yeah, they were definitely doing anticipatory research.
And we of course we spoke to Mary Mapes yesterday, formerly of CBS News, was talking about the 150 death warrants that George Bush signed as governor. Anything but a compassionate conservative. But how? And we've only got a minute or two left here. How did you happen to start digging into this story and find that George Bush's uncle, I guess, was listed very near to this obit for for Pope Paul IV, listing him as a compassionate conservative? How'd you find that in the library?
Well, I just picked up the right book.
Were you looking for this story?
You do the bibliography. You know, you go through the bibliographies. You find, you know, look at the biographical indexes. If you're looking up a particular relative, like, you know, like the Walker family, for example, you can find lists of where they're, you know, where the information, what books, what published books the information.
But you didn't find this
published in.
But you didn't find this online, Margie. You found this in the hardbound library. What were you actually going back and looking for when you came across this?
Well, I must have been looking up the Walker. I must have been.
Any reason you were looking up Walker?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, absolutely. It was the older Walkers. Actually, before I answer this, you know, my take on the bigger picture here is that basically what Team Bush did in 1997, 98, 99 is they pretty much did what we call OPPO research, opposition research on America. That's what they did. They pretty much did opposition research about America, about the United States, you know, probing for soft spots, looking for weaknesses, searching out possible communications gaps.
And we've only got about 20 seconds, Margie. I'm sorry.
Pockets of unawareness, that kind of thing. Yeah, and this is part of that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very interesting report. It's interesting to see those pages, and nice to see someone who has found something not on Google, but actually the hard way, using a shoe leather. Go check out this report by Margie Burns over at bradblog.com. Margie, thanks for all you're doing out there and keeping an eye on those hearings. I got to get a vacation sometime, so please jump in all you can. All right?
All right. Okay. Bye. Thanks,
Margie Burns, D.C. correspondent from bradblog.com. We're back with Larissa Alexandrovna right after this.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The Federal Appeals Court has thrown out a decision made in 2005 by the Bush administration to allow long-haul truckers to drive 11 hours straight instead of the 10 hours they'd been limited to for 60 years before that.
This is really a welcome decision by all of us that have been working in the area of truck safety.
More after this.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far, I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. Everything you need to get started making money on the internet is on a free CD from Internet Speedway. Call 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011.
The U.S. Court of Appeals in its decision yesterday said the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration had not adequately explained its reasoning as to why it would be safer for truck drivers to drive their heavy trucks for 11 hours rather than 10, the old limit. Jackie Gillen is vice president of Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety.
We're very pleased with the decision because it's going to put safety first and trucking industry profits behind that.
The American Trucker Association asked the court to stay its decision, and it won't go into effect until September 14th. The ATA likes the 11-hour limit, says it has reduced driver fatigue. Sounds as if they think the longer you drive a big, heavy piece of machinery, the less fatigued you are. The court couldn't understand that, and neither can Jackie Gillen.
Fatigue is a major problem in the trucking industry, and yet this administration has put forth a rule that increases the number of hours that a truck driver can spend behind the wheel.
The case has been argued for 2 years now by groups including not only Gillen's, but by Public Citizens, Parents Against Tired Truckers, and the Teamsters. As for the administration?
We are hopeful that they have gotten the message from the courts and from the safety community that this rule is unsafe and dangerous for all Americans on our highways.
Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of The Osgood File can be found at theosgoodfile.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Four, three, two.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away. But the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
Oh, Living on a Prayer, halfway there. That can only mean we are halfway through this week's Peter B. Collins Show. The exact halfway point. Hump Day. Hump Hour on Hump Day here on the PBC Show. Sitting in for Peter B., we've got Larissa Alexandrovna standing by momentarily from rawstory.com. If you want to talk to her, now's the chance. Dial it up, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I know there's Larissa fans out there. As a matter of fact, let's see, here over in the bradblog.com chat room, where I hope you will join us, GWN from Canada says, oh, I hope to get to hear Larissa Alexandrovna. She's my favorite writer-journalist. Thanks, Brad, for all the great guests. Well, we can do better than that, GWN. You can talk to her yourself if you wish. I think Barbara also has some questions for Larissa that we will try to get to in a moment. Post it over at the chat room. Anything else? All right, that's it. 888-5-PETER-B. All right, let's go on over to Larissa from Ross Story, our old friend. Oh, Larissa, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. Hi, Brad.
Are you at an undisclosed location?
Yeah, it's called home.
Oh. Well, where is your home in an undisclosed location?
Publicly it is, is yours, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, well, I've left.
Yeah,
I've left my home.
I figured.
We packed up. We're on the road. We've got a big trailer. We're never going back.
Well, it sounds good.
Yeah. Anyway, so you got a story, over at Raw Story today. National intelligence estimate lacks supporting evidence, possibly, Larissa, possibly politicized, say, intelligence officers. Of course, my tendency was to be sarcastic there and say, possibly politicized. Are you kidding me? We would expect nothing less. What's going on here? How is the NIE politicized this time, according to the intelligence officials?
Well, there's one portion of it that appears to be politicized. With regard to what you folks covered last week,
mm-hmm.
in terms of Pakistan being an issue, everyone's in agreement on that. But the main concern about the NIE is that it was badly put together. There was very little evidence to support the assertions made, and in particular, there was some concern over the idea that the Lebanese terrorist group Hezbollah would attack domestically if they perceived, that's the actual wording, that Iran was being threatened.
And I was going to say, so Hezbollah tied to Iran, the report
right.
essentially saying, sending the seems to be sending the message, which would be counter to what the administration, I think, would want to get out there. They're saying, if you attack Iran, you may be facing attacks at the homeland from Hezbollah. Is that essentially what the NIE was trying to say?
Well, who knows what the NIE was trying to say?
Okay. Well,
there is some speculation as to, you know, it's the idea of a perceived threat, and you know, some of the people I talk to are genuinely concerned that this administration is not deterred by any disagreement on whether or not they should attack Iran, and that they might indeed provoke an attack. Or rather, they might provoke a seeming first attack from Iran. And
mm-hmm.
this kind of argument sort of, and this is in some people's view, this is, you know, by no matter, you know, the consensus as
mm-hmm.
the NIE claims to be, that they might use this assertion later to say, okay, you know, see, Hezbollah felt that Iran was threatened, that's why Iran, let's say, attacked U.S. troops. Hezbollah attacked U.S. troops in Iraq, and therefore now we must retaliate.
So,
you know what I mean? It's like setting the table in advance.
A peremptory strike, if you will, or peremptory intelligence, I suppose.
Well, exactly. At this point, we're not no longer into preemptive strikes. We're into preemptive intelligence. That's you put it well. The other possibility, which some of the folks I talked to have said, is, and I think probably the more likely one, is that you know, it's quite possible that not only did the Department of Justice get all sorts of Monica Goodling-type people stuck in there for their loyalty, not their abilities.
Loyal Bushies.
Right. You have the intelligence agencies being staffed with similar types of people who do not know a darn thing and who are only there because of their allegiance to the leader. And if that's the case, and certainly there's no way to find that out because you would have to know all of their identities, and that's not going to happen. But if that's the case, then, you know, that is very dangerous. And if, you know, my understanding of the report is that it's poorly sourced in terms of when you make assertions, it's like writing a term paper. You have reasons for why you came to the conclusion you came to. Here are here's the evidence, here are the footnotes, here's the information to back up what I'm saying. Type
uh-huh.
thing. And that it was very poorly sourced all throughout. And that it was incredibly sloppy in its language. And so with that last part was across the board no matter who I talked to. And to me, that is why I think the latter interpretation, that is, that the intelligence agencies are now, you know, being polluted with
yeah.
Monica Goodling's.
And so are they essentially, is the point here or the hope here, according to your sources, to begin to fan the flames? If they mention Iran in the NIE, it puts Iran on the map. It puts it into discussion. It puts
right.
it into Charles Krauthammer and Fox News and all of these guys. More evidence that Iran, we got to go against them next. Is that the general assertion here from these sources?
Well, no. It's not like Hezbollah isn't a threat abroad. They are, and they are a terrorist group, or they have been in the past.
No, but to shoehorn, in other words,
yeah,
to shoehorn
no,
Iran in
I hear what you're saying,
vis-a-vis.
But I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay.
But there are different reasons why the sources are, as you say, you know, putting this out to get ahead and why they're questioning why this was inserted. As I said, some, you know, believe it's the, as you called, preemptive intelligence. Some
mm-hmm.
believe it's Monica Goodling type of intelligence, and there's a small faction who think, as you do, that this could be, or as you said, did you say, how did you explain it? Say it again, I lost
it. But no, it seems like we're sort of stitching together these ideas. Oh, Hezbollah is supported by Iran. If we attack Iran, then Hezbollah will attack us, and that since the information itself in the NIE is so very sketchy, and one of your sources even says it seems to be from, you know, information back in the 80s or something, it's almost as if they're putting Iran out there any way they can so that the media, the right-wing neocon media, you know, picks up on it, starts talking about Iran again, and essentially beating the drums, you know, paving the way for what they want to do, which is, of course,
well, right. That sort of jives with the first interpretation I gave you, and that is that, for example, if, you know, they want to make this Iran attack happen, or Iran, you know, war,
mm-hmm.
but they can't be seen as being preemptive about it. So let's say there's somehow a huge, big attack on U.S. installations abroad somewhere, right?
Right.
They can say, well, you see, Hezbollah felt that Iran was being threatened, and now they've attacked us first. Now we have to respond. You see what I mean?
I do. And you have... Yeah, go ahead.
But, and of course, this being, you know, it's not like we're talking about a group that's unknown. Hezbollah is a known terrorist group. The reality, though, is that they've never attacked us domestically, and they've had ample opportunities. As Robert Baer points out, and you know, he went on the record, and you know, he said they could have all this time attacked us if they wanted to.
Yeah, former.
And during more.
You've got former CIA case officer Robert Baer says Hezbollah had all the opportunity and motivation to attack the U.S. during the last 24 years. Why in God's name would Hezbollah resort to terrorism against the West when it got what it wanted? You'll know there's a Hezbollah domestic threat when the FBI makes a serious arrest in relation to a terrorist plot. Well, he's talking about Hezbollah getting what they wanted where? By this war in Iraq?
In Iraq, yep. Because it's really devalued the U.S.-Israeli position in many ways, and it's with regard to the Middle East and such. And it's also unified it's unified moderates with radicals in terms of their views on the Israeli-Palestine conflict. And also it's made a lot of the international, public outpouring of support for Iran happen when that wouldn't have, before that wouldn't have been something that was conceivable, where you would think Iran was being, seen as the good guys type of thing. So in that regard, yes, they got what they wanted. They also got a very nice defeat of Israel, if you recall, last year, which, all of this is very frightening because, indeed, they are empowered, but they've never attacked us domestically. And that is, I think, the point of contention here. Well, if you'll also note in the article, Dr. Norton, who's the leading U.S. expert on Hezbollah, Professor Norton from Boston University, his thing is like, okay, great, sure, we could sit around and basically conceive of every possible threat, but let's not, drop the ball. Let's focus on the real threat, that is, the instability in Pakistan, and this is where all experts, whether they're scholarly, whether they're officials or officers, they all agree Pakistan is a serious problem. Of course, one created by the Reagan administration, the problem, that is, the seriousness of it. Pakistan is a serious problem, as is Saudi Arabia, although I couldn't get anyone to tell me if Saudi Arabia was in the classified report.
Well, we spoke with Larry Johnson, and we're going to take a quick break here shortly. But so give us a call, by the way, if you want to talk to Larissa. This is your chance, 888-5-PETER-B. We spoke with Larry Johnson, who I know you know, former CIA analyst. And, in trying to make sense of these things now, it has become next to impossible. And even for a guy like Larry Johnson, who knows this stuff so well, who has worked on these national intelligence estimates before, you can't any longer take them at face value for, here is the cold, hard facts. You sort of have to build in the politicization.
To a lot of people,
yeah.
Is that the you don't know who to you can't trust the Justice Department, you can't trust intelligence, there's no trust for any government agency or whether, no matter what you think of it. The fact is that intelligence estimates should be clean and it should be trustworthy.
Those days are over. Larissa Alexandrovna, hang on, stand by. Larissa from RawStory.com. Going to take a quick break here. Come back with Laird from Eureka and anyone else who wants to get in, if we have time for you. 888-573-8372. I'm Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. Back in a moment.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your solar future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to your solar future Saturdays at high noon. Go to yoursolarfuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to yoursolarfuture.com.
All right, let's take a look at traffic and let you know we have a major problem working still. It was a SIG alert, which indicates, again, a major problem in Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 after the summit. It was a crash. And an earlier truck fire. It's been cleared. Now, here's the problem. The traffic really backed up. Northbound traffic backed up from the summit. Southbound traffic is clearly backed up all the way from Highway 85 if you're traveling in that area. Now, also, CHP telling us about a couple new problems. It's a crash in Monterey, southbound 101 at San Miguel Canyon Road. And this is a vehicle hit the center divide, went up in the air, and apparently landed back on its wheels. Also, another vehicle involved in this crash as well. And a tow truck is on scene along with CHP. Cienega Road at Highway 25 in Hollister. We have an accident working there. This report brought to you by Kaiser Permanente.
Give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B, if you want to talk to Larissa Alexandrovna of Raw Story or me, your friendly citizen blogger turned radio guest host here on the PBC show for just a few more days. We're talking with Larissa about her new story over at rawstory.com, a very impressive investigative report on the national intelligence estimate and the claims that Iran... the threat from Iran is perhaps unsupported, according to sources in the CIA. But let's take a quick call here from Laird, who has a question for Larissa, but also says he's you're angry at me, Laird? What did
no,
I do?
I'm not angry at you, but I definitely felt like I got cut off the other day.
You did?
Anyway, that was yesterday.
Oh, okay. So today's a new day, I will cut you off anew today. You can be mad at me all over again.
Okay.
Look, I'm making this up as I go along. You know, I've got to figure out the clock. I've got to do all that kind of stuff. So don't be mad at me in advance. That's my preemptive intelligence for you.
Okay.
Okay, what's your question, Laird?
Quick comment.
Yeah.
This sounds to me like part of the Cheney 1% solution. I don't know if you know about that.
It's what's the Cheney 1% solution?
That if there is a 1% chance of an attack, we treat it as if it's an absolute certainty.
Ah, that's right.
Okay.
I have heard that.
That's the comment. The question, and I'll take my answer off the air.
So I don't have to cut you off, sir?
Right.
Okay. Very good. Go ahead.
Is it possible, does Larissa think that it's possible that this is a lead-up to some kind of an emergency preemptive attack? I mean, is this kind of thing possibly something Bush could use to turn this into an emergency?
Okay.
Do you understand the question?
No, I don't. An emergency in what sense?
In the sense that he would have to enact the national presidential emergency directive.
I see. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
You're going to hang up on yourself, sir?
Well, if you don't, you know, you want me to stay around.
That would be fine. Go ahead. Hang up
Bye.
On yourself. Bye, Laird. Okay. What do you think, Larissa?
I think there's been a lot of talk lately about what's some, you know, comments made by, I forget his name. He was with the Reagan administration, and he recently wrote...
Paul Craig Roberts?
Yes, exactly. Thank you. saying that, you know, in a year we'll be a dictatorship at war with Iran.
And he advocated impeachment to avoid that very recently in a column.
The problem is when you've got something as secretive as intelligence to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got such a secretive government that's so abused intelligence in the past, it's the entire nation becomes paranoid to the point where that paranoia, you know, can arguably be said to be a reasonable response to unreasonable circumstances. Could he use this as a power grab? In other words, stage something, I think is the question.
Right.
I don't know. I can't predict the future. I don't know. Would he? I don't think so. Not because I think he's a good guy. In other words, anybody in this administration.
Right.
But because I just don't think that to pull something like that off, they would have the necessary support within the military or within any other branch of government. You know, let's not forget that this administration, the reason we have all these leaks, the reason all this stuff is coming out is because there are people who stayed on board in this administration so that they could leak this stuff.
They could get this stuff out. Well,
right.
Steve from Salinas has a thought about how they might escalate it from here. Let's see if we can fit this in real quickly. Steve, question for Larissa.
On the same thing.
Yeah.
Last week on Tom Hartman's program, Paul Craig Roberts and Bruce Fein, both of who were in the Reagan administration,
right.
said they are expecting some sort of a 9/11 event before the elections in order to solidify the Republicans' chances, and I think also to, you know, give Bush a reason. And,
right, I mean, it's not inconceivable. It's not.
I don't think there's any level below which Rove and Cheney will not stoop.
True, and if you look at history in Germany in the 1930s, I mean, we are absolutely following that playbook. But the German regime put those efforts into place with the full support of the military, the full support of all these various government officials and whatnot. In this case, these guys are so disliked by
everyone,
the majority of the public,
right.
including the majority of the military.
Right.
They're disliked by intelligence officials. They're disliked by everybody. That I would find it hard to believe that they could muster up enough support from any group to pull off something like that, which would require a great deal of logistical support, for example. So while I don't think it's inconceivable, I don't think they can do it.
I don't think it would have to be on that scale. Just get a couple of people together to go into a supermarket or something. And
well, you know, you're right, Steve, and thanks for the call. I got to cut you off because we're coming up to the top of the hour. But, you know, I agree. In essence, look what they did with this attack in London at the Glasgow, Scotland. You know, it was, I don't even think anyone was killed, but they turned it into an around-the-clock event. He's right.
I talked to the British authorities who told me that the press, on the record, by the way, told me that the press was making this hysterical when Gordon Brown himself is saying, look, there is no war on terror. We're not using that phrase anymore. And we don't know if this was Al-Qaeda, so stop using, you know, that term to every, you know, possible terrorist.
Well, right, but that's my point. A single, you know, somebody can go out. I can go, well, I don't want to say I can. Anybody can go out, set off a bomb in a shopping center. That's going to be 24/7 on Fox News and be more than enough. You don't need another 9/11 to give these guys what they need to pull the trigger at this point.
But let's say something does happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a public that is so cynical. You've got a public that is so paranoid at this point that even if it were real as opposed to false flag,
mm-hmm.
they would still think it was false flag. That is how paranoid we've gotten.
Yeah, that's how bad it's gotten.
We, do you think the public would just simply say, okay, well, that's what it was?
You know what? I don't know. They fell for it before. They seem to keep falling for it, and I got to get out here. And I won't get to even Ben's question, who says the military won't go for it this time around.
No, they won't.
I hope Ben is right. Larissa Alexandrovna of RawStory.com, as ever, thank you for everything you do. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Thanks. Bye.
Back for more, our Election Integrity Hour, after this.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fats, what friends are for? CBS News correspondent Barry Vagnotta reports on the surprising results of new research on obesity.
Your social ties strongly influence your weight changes, an innovative New England Journal of Medicine study says. Researchers, including James Fowler, discovered when someone's friends become obese, their obesity risk rises 57%. Spouses and siblings have an effect, too.
We were able to create a movie that shows how this network changes over time.
A yellow node represents an obese person.
Over 32 years, yellow nodes interconnect and more appear. And this social effect is just as strong if your friend is next door or 100 miles away, suggesting shared ideas about weight matter more than shared meals. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A commission appointed by President Bush delivered its recommendations today on a new health care system for veterans.
We owe a wounded soldier the very best care and the very best benefits and the very easiest to understand system.
That's what they're trying to do, says former Health Secretary Donna Shalala, who co-chaired the panel with wounded World War II veteran Bob Dole.
It is a patient and family-centered series of recommendations. More importantly, for the American people, we believe they are doable in the immediate future.
The commission calls for better benefits that are easier to come by and says the military should reach out to the private sector for help treating brain injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder. A congressional committee got an earful about that today, as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The committee was told that thousands of veterans who've returned from Iraq with psychiatric symptoms from post-traumatic stress disorder or brain injuries are instead being diagnosed and discharged by Army doctors for pre-existing personality disorder and thus denied medical care and disability payments. A former Army specialist who says he suffers now from nonstop headaches and insomnia said it happened to him and he called it outrageous.
President Bush went running today with two wounded veterans, one who lost a leg in Iraq, another who lost both legs in Afghanistan. Recovery in the housing market still seems a very long way off. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the latest.
The National Association of Realtors reported the number of houses sold fell by almost 4% in June. The association's Walter Maloney.
Sales are going to be down this year from 2006. And not looking for much of a recovery until 2008.
He does point out the median price rose and the backlog of unsold houses shrank. Economists who aren't so optimistic point out sellers have taken their homes off the market and the low-price houses aren't selling. It's harder to get a mortgage if you're a subprime borrower. Foreclosures in California for payments missed more than doubled this year. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow regained some of yesterday's losses, up 68 points to 13,785. The Nasdaq 8 points higher at 2,648. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway?
Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on Earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Many car dealers are feeling squeezed by competition, but some Chrysler dealers are being squeezed by their own company. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has the story.
Even the dealers admit that Chrysler has too many dealers. Like Ford and GM, it's a legacy from the days when the big three ruled. But few dealers are volunteering to go away. Some Chrysler dealers who haven't reached their sales goals have reportedly received letters saying their franchises will be terminated if they don't turn things around. It's an uphill battle for Chrysler because courts have traditionally sided with dealers in past challenges. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The proposed sale of Chrysler to Cerberus Capital Management hit a bump in the road when investors shied away from the $12 billion debt offering to fund the deal. It will go forward with the underwriters supplying much of the cash. In Australia, a dog who wandered away from his owner has been found 2 months later and 2,000 miles away. Rusty was identified by a microchip implanted under his skin. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Grainger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
There, you got the hiccups? Jesse's got hiccups. You may hear them throughout the next hour.
I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it's not. But take a drink of water. That'll take care of it.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right.
To the right.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle for one more hour with you here today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our Election Integrity Hour, of course. Once again, folks who may know me from the PBC show, I sit in every Friday in the third hour of Peter B's show to discuss issues of election integrity, and we've just hijacked the whole damn show. We're doing an election integrity hour every day rather than once a week, because I think it's merited. All right, we've got some breaking news here momentarily coming out of the Secretary of State's office concerning Deborah Bowen, California Secretary of State's top-to-bottom review, which is due any moment. Well, it's actually going to be due this Friday rather than next week. And, well, heck, we may be on the air and able to cover it. We're going to talk about that and much more as we're getting closer to this. You know, Deborah Bowen has ran for Secretary of State on the promise of reviewing these electronic voting machines, which her predecessor, Bruce McPherson, didn't bother to look at all. I don't care what anybody tells you. This guy rubber stamped them. He let in anything and anybody who wanted to have a voting machine here as long as it was computerized and secret. And he had Diebold guys working out of his office. A fellow by the name of Rob Pelletier was actually drafting documents for these people. So Secretary of State Deborah Bowen is finally doing a review of these things. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, although he may want to talk about it as well, as usual, checking in and we're going to have Ellen Tyson here also shortly to talk about the Senate hearings today. Dianne Feinstein's Senate committee to talk about her crappy election reform bill 1487. But first, our good friend from VotersUnite.org, John Gideon, joins us to give us the latest in the world of daily voting news. What's up, John?
Hi, Brad. Hi, everybody. I'll skip the 1487 stuff because you guys are going to talk about that, and I'll let Ellen have all the time that she needs on that.
Okay.
We'll get to, San Francisco County.
Right.
San Francisco County has in the past used optical scan voting system that was specially set up for them because of their IRV type of voting.
Instant runoff voting.
There you go.
Called. Okay.
Because of their instant runoff voting, and this system was put together by ES&S. It was first used in November of 2004. It was given a one-time only certification by the Secretary of State's office.
Right.
So meaning
they certified it. They said it can be used only for this next year, in other words, right?
Yeah, well, okay. For this coming election only. That's it.
Right.
The following year, ES&S brought the same exact system and says, we need to be certified again. Secretary of State's office gave them another year's certification.
For another year. Year to year, they keep going.
2006. Okay. This will be the last time that you guys get certification. This time, we have the documentation on the California Secretary of State's website that shows the problems. They had many problems with this system they had used in the previous 2 years. It didn't always count properly. It had problems with the instant runoff voting, the way things had to be tabulated.
Why, can I break in, John, why was it not certified just normally? Why were they giving this one-year dispensation? Is it because there was problems with it as it existed that did not meet the code as it was supposed to?
There was numerous reasons, amongst others. It didn't recognize any ink other than black or dark blue. So if people were voting from home and they used, as voters do, a red pen or a crayon or a lipstick or a Sharpie or whatever, the machine wouldn't pick it up and they would have to actually mark another ballot or mark that ballot.
Do the other voting systems actually read red ink, or is it not a problem?
There are some that I'm sure do. I know that red ink is used. There's special ink colors that won't be picked up by some of the machines, and in fact the elections offices use those to mark on ballots, to mark stuff that they don't want the optical scan machine to pick up.
Okay, so ES&S has gotten this one-year dispensation now four times in a row. Why aren't they getting it again? What's the problem now?
Deborah Bowen came into office, and she says you've been given 1 year and told for the last 3 years that you weren't going to get it again, so this time you're not going to get it again. So they're not going to get certified. They've already been told that. San Francisco County has been told they're not going to be allowed to use that system anymore.
And they've got elections coming up, right?
They have an election coming up, so they're now in the process of trying to figure out how they're going to count their IRV ballots. And it's liable to go to hand counting, which they are estimating will require 400 people, and as long as a month to count ballots. And part of the reason that's probably a too large an estimate of time,
right.
But it's probably not that much too large because it is IRV, so it requires counting and tabulating.
And instant runoff voting, just so people understand, this is where they've got when there's not a clear majority, they then go to you can base your preferences. This is the guy I vote for as first choice, second choice, third choice, right?
Right.
So it is a little bit more complicated, both to add up and to certainly to hand count, if that's what
right.
they have to do. And the governor, the mayor, as I recall, Newsom has said that he is prepared. He's fine with going to hand counting if that's what they have to do.
Yep, that's right.
And so does that look like what is going to now happen?
I don't know. They're going to have to come up with something. They were talking about possibly going with the Sequoia system, but they've turned that down because Sequoia didn't want to release their source code, even under NDA conditions or anything, so non-disclosure agreement conditions. So
Sequoia was going to bring in touchscreen voting, DREs, and is that correct? It was going to be touchscreen?
I'm not sure if it was touchscreen or another paper-based, another optical scan system, but... Hmm.
But they refused to disclose their source code.
Right.
Sequoia did. Okay, all right.
One other story.
Yep.
Real quick, the state of Utah has the part of the problem with the new electronic voting machines is that it has actually made it so that there is a lack or a shortage of poll workers. The people my age, grandma and grandpa, are no longer interested in going and working at the polls. We used to like doing it back when there were paper ballots because we could meet and greet and gossip and all that stuff. Now we got these newfangled machines that none of us can figure out. And believe me, I'm not being facetious or anything. I'm there.
Right.
We can't figure them out, so they're just, they're, it's no fun anymore, so we're not going to work the polls. So cities, counties, states are having problems recruiting poll workers to go and do their thing.
That is happening all over the country now.
Yes.
These people, you got 70-year-old ladies, God love them, but they don't know how to be rocket scientists and use these stupid voting machines.
That's right. So the state of Utah, for one, came up with an idea about, we will allow corporations to they can sponsor a voting site and actually go and put their employees at a voting site as poll workers, and they can wear their uniforms or put signs up saying this site sponsored by McDonald's or Walmart or whatever.
So our polling places could start looking like NASCAR races before long,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Put jumpsuits on them from Valvoline and support that way.
All right. So Dayton, Ohio,
yeah.
Montgomery County, Ohio, they had the same idea. And everything was going to work out fine, but then some of the Democrats got wind of the fact that one of the places was actually being sponsored by a group called Dayton Right to Life. And the head of the Dayton Right to Life said that, we'll be happy to talk to people about life issues when they come to the polls. So the county is now rethinking their decision. There was going to actually be poll workers there with anti-abortion materials and, all the right to life things, doing their bit, and
unbelievable.
Yep.
John, I got to get out here. Daily Voting News. You can read more on all of those, all of the above. Daily Voting News will be posted just off after we go off the air over at bradblog.com. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org does that every day. Thank you for all you do, John. We will talk to your partner Ellen shortly, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, Brad Friedman here during the Election Integrity Hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Still got a lot ahead. Stay with us.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Okay, folks, time to check traffic, and let's get to it. Let's start off with a problem. Coming in from the CHP, it is located in Prunedale, northbound 101 at San Miguel Canyon Road. A two-vehicle crash being reported there. Looks like CHP already on scene there. Really, that seems to be the only big problem. Northbound 17 and southbound 17, we had a problem in the northbound direction with a truck fire and accident. Everything seems to have recovered there. So that certainly is some good news. And so traffic, however, is still slow in both areas. No other problem to report except for a little road work on Santa Cruz, northbound 17 at northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp closed 24 hours a day. A support brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. A perfect day starts with a great night's sleep. Mancini Sleep World, you can call 1-800-64-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
We will.
You won't go telling me.
You can try, but I ain't gonna listen.
Our vote don't matter.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly citizen guest blogger. No, citizen investigative blogger sitting in as guest host on the PBC show. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to have Ellen Tyson momentarily from votersunite.org to catch us up on what happened today. In the Senate, hearings with Senator Dianne Feinstein of California who has an election reform bill, 1487, and it's not good. She's going to tell us how that went there. A couple of news items, though, to catch up with quickly here on the voting front here in our election, our daily election integrity hour. As I mentioned before, Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review of voting systems, the California Secretary of State, reviewing all of the electronic voting systems. And we just got word, let me get to it here, from the Secretary of State's office, that report we thought was due next Thursday. In fact, the independent reports, these are the groups that are looking at the voting machines and actually for the first time in the history of this country, hacking those machines, actually doing what are called red team attacks, vulnerability penetration attacks. Their reports will be due, will be finalized and posted on the Secretary of State website this Friday, July 27. Hopefully it's before we go on the air. We'll try to give them a look. We're also trying to get Deborah Bowen to join us on that day. What will be posted are the team's findings in the four areas of the voting systems review that they're looking at. There'll be no opinions about what the state or counties should do because, you recall, they may be decertifying some of these systems based on what these teams find. Then next Monday, 10 a.m. in Sacramento, there will be a public hearing on these findings. I'm hoping that all of you peeps within spitting distance of Sacramento will get up there and make some noise at this public hearing. It will begin with the two principal investigators presenting an overview of their findings, followed by vendor responses, the voting machine companies, and then a general public comment period. Got that, Sacramento? If you're listening, take the day off on Monday, 10 a.m., and get to the State House. Let's see. Secretary Bowen's decision then on system certification will come August 3rd after her thorough review of the findings and the public input, etc. So that's what you have to look forward to. What else you have to look forward to? And Ellen Tyson, hang in there. I promise we're going to get to you. It might be after the break here because I want to give you plenty of time. The other thing you have to look forward to is the California elections clerks, currently headed by President Steve Weir, who is the Registrar of Voters in Contra Costa County. I invited him to be on the show here. We were not able to get him, or he hasn't responded yet. Hopefully he will tomorrow. If so, we'll try to get him in later this week. But in a report on the top-to-bottom review, Weir had a very interesting point to make. What he said was he told the reporter Steve Harmon that the clerks could decide to ignore Bowen's findings and continue to use their systems, which are already federally qualified. Such a decision would almost certainly create a legal standoff. I would, almost certainly, for sure. Sounds like the California elections clerks are taking their legal advice from Dick Cheney at this point. They feel they can do whatever the hell they want to do. In the meantime, of course, Diebold's spokeshole, David Baer, he is, by the way, a liar. He has lied to me many times. Here's what he had to say about Bowen's review. Let's see. He said here, you have someone who made some allegations that are either unfounded or they rely on a scenario not reflective of true election environment. It's all based on a scenario of a so-called hacker with complete and unlimited access to a system. He hates this review. Can't imagine why, Mr. Baer. Yes, Mr. Baer, a so-called hacker with complete and unlimited access to a system, someone, like you, someone who works for Diebold, someone who works for the voting machine companies that regularly get all the access they want to these machines to do any damn thing they want. Or perhaps an election official who gets complete and unlimited access to these systems. Perhaps he might want to game an election. Now, I know that someone like Tony Anchundo, the former California Registrar of Voters up in Monterey County, he would never want to do anything like this. We should have faith and trust in him, as he told me on this very show, on the Peter B. Collins Show, just a few months before Tony Anchundo was charged with 43 criminal counts. which he has since pled no contest to, and he's serving time in jail for. I'm sorry, Mr. Bear. We don't trust you. We don't trust elections officials. We shouldn't. Our system is not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances. That's why these systems need to work. That's why they can't be hackable. And that's why they need to be fully transparent to the citizens of this country. Because we need to keep the elections secure. Not you, Mr. Bear. Not you, Mr. Weir of Contra Costa. But the citizens, we want a transparent system. We're going to keep fighting for it because we think it's worth it. All right, we're going to talk with Ellen Tyson of VotersUnite.org right after this about the Senate hearings today in Washington, D.C. We'll be back. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda.
The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over bradblog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
Election reform. It sure ain't pretty.
No, it ain't.
Election reform. Every state, every city. Election reform. Like Iraq or Ukraine. Election reform. In the USA. We don't believe our votes are concrete.
No, we don't.
No paper ballots.
Nope.
We can't compete.
We can't.
Gotta wonder if somebody cheats.
Somebody.
Election reform is not a sexy thing. Election reform. The media swings. Election reform. Do they steal? Do they rob? Election reform. Gotta look to the blog.
Look to the Brad blog for your election reform headquarters. You can also look over to votersunite.org, where Ellen Tyson works along with John Gideon. Ellen joins us today to update us on the Senate hearings today. Dianne Feinstein's House Rules Administration Committee, something like that. Oh, Ellen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks, Brad.
House Rules Committee, right?
Rules and Administration Committee.
Senate there you go.
Rules and Administration Committee.
All right, well, she's got a new election reform bill, 1487. I know you're a big, big fan of that bill, right?
Or, you know, little brackets of sarcasm. Yeah.
And so what was the hearing like today? What were the high points? What were the low points? Are they passing the bill, or are they fixing it and or throwing it out altogether at this point?
Well, it's interesting. According to what Feinstein said, they're not going to move forward on it until there's more buy-in. And it sounded like they were going to be making changes on it.
What does buy-in mean? Meaning more senators signing on and so forth?
I think there was a lot of, I think what she meant was a lot more people saying, yeah, this looks good. There were a lot of concerns expressed in the hearing. The major concerns, I believe, sounded like they were about time constraints and costs. Secretary of State, Vermont Secretary of State Markowitz brought up the fact that the equipment that is required for DREs does not exist yet, and Feinstein seemed surprised by that.
The equipment, this is the equipment that she's requiring in her own bill to allow these things to be, the paper trails, so-called, to be printed on durable paper?
That and the accessible verification.
And she did.
Required.
Oh, accessible.
It sounded to me like she wasn't, like she was a little bit surprised by that.
These are the text readers, theoretically, that are going to read back to the blind voters and so forth what is actually on the paper ballot, correct?
Right.
And she didn't know that this technology had not yet been invented?
That's what it sounded like. I guess we'd have to go back and listen again, but it sounded kind of surprised. She sounded surprised. So anyway, there were several other people who brought that up as well, and then there were some concerns expressed about the cost, because if it hasn't been developed yet, how can we estimate what it's going to cost or how much time it's going to take?
Right.
All very good questions. And so there were quite a few concerns expressed about that.
Well, did anybody, and of course they don't carry these sorts of hearings on the television or even C-SPAN for the most part, did anybody surprise you in their statements, any of the witnesses?
Well.
And speak up for us, Ellen. We're having a little trouble hearing you on this end. So
well, yeah, actually I wasn't talking.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about that, and I don't think anybody did really surprise me. There were a couple of comments. Very small comments made about not federalizing elections. I was hoping that somebody would make a little bit more out of that, but they didn't. Doug Lewis, our Doug Lewis, mentioned that he would rather see objectives rather than prescriptive stuff.
Our Doug Lewis of the Election Center, which is really a front group, if you ask me, for the voting machine companies. So he said what exactly?
He said
what does that
he preferred... he preferred to see objectives rather than prescriptive stuff.
Meaning no mandates, just some good ideas of what you'd like us to do, and we'll leave it up to the voting machine companies if they actually want to do it.
Well, he didn't say specifically what prescriptive stuff he was talking about, although he was very concerned about the voter-verified paper trail. He didn't think that was a very good idea at all, and he talked about that quite a bit. Shamos also was very concerned about the voter-verified paper trail.
Let me just fill in the blanks here. That's okay. Dr. Michael Shamos out of Pennsylvania, who is actually a big supporter of electronic voting.
Yes, he is. He spoke words that I would have spoken about the voter-verified paper trail, though. He said while it offers the voter an opportunity to verify her ballot on one medium, it offers no assurance whatsoever that her ballot was counted, ever will be counted, or that it will be present when and if a recount or audit is conducted.
Well,
so I would agree with those things, but then he goes on to say that basically paper ballots are just as bad. And I don't agree with that. He feels that the part of the problem with the bill is that it requires the voter-verified paper ballots, so the much better technology methods of verification would not have an opportunity to be developed and implemented.
So Michael Shamos, essentially Michael Shamos would like to continue with touchscreen voting machines, no paper ballots, no paper trails, and just trust the machines, right? Is that what his was? Was that still his position, essentially?
Well, you know, in 28 years of using these machines, there has been no proven case of ballot tampering with them.
is that what he says?
Out, yes. He fails to point out, of course, that it is impossible to detect ballot tampering with them.
You wouldn't know if it's hacked. That's the same thing. I don't know if you heard me going on. You wouldn't know, and this is what Stephen Weir has said out here in California, that, we have no evidence. We're concerned about hacks, but we've got no evidence. That's the point.
Yes.
A proper hack, you wouldn't know if it's been hacked.
Yes.
And let me also add, if I could, Alan, about Michael Shamos. While he has no evidence of anybody ever hacking in 43 years or whatever, we should remind folks here, he tests voting systems for Pennsylvania, for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and while demonstrating last year to some folks who had come in, while demonstrating how unhackable the Sequoia voting system was, Michael Shamos accidentally hacked the Sequoia voting system.
That's funny.
Do you remember this?
Yes,
in front of their eyes.
I do.
He actually accidentally hacked it while he was showing them how it couldn't be hacked, and now he's in Congress saying, oh, don't worry about it, everything's fine, there's no evidence of...
Right, but that was a hack during testing, not during a real election. So apparently there's a distinction there.
That doesn't count,
brother. He started off by saying that he had just completed his 121st voting system examination.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt embarrassed for him because so many of them have failed that one has to wonder why he was approving them. There were some other interesting things. Right after he talked about that it would be a problem because this bill, the practical outcome of this bill would be to ban DREs, but they've been used here without incidents. Then he goes on to say, the problem isn't security but reliability. Almost 10% of them fail on election day. And adding a printer reduces reliability. Almost 20% of them fail on election day if they have a printer attached. And I'm having trouble understanding how he deduces that it's a good idea for us to keep them.
Yeah, and yet he has been one of the very few, and it's been pointed out to me, he's actually not a computer scientist. At least that's not what his degree is or something, but... He's one of the few computer guys, we'll call him, who actually supports these systems without any kind of paper trail. He's recognized the problems that we have with them, but his stated position has been that, well, it's still the best way to go, better than paper ballots. We'll just fix the problems as we notice them as we go forward.
Yeah.
After, of course, we do notice them, if we notice them.
And we do notice them. and we still go forward with them.
Right, and he does. He certainly does. He hasn't seen a voting machine, I think, that even one that he's accidentally hacked that he doesn't like. He's happy to go forward with it. What did Hillary Clinton actually, she was scheduled to be a witness. Did she actually give testimony today?
She did, and she actually sounded pretty good. One thing that was interesting to me was, and you saw this with a lot of the people, is they pointed out the problems that they were trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it listening to the hearing, you could get the impression that it really was well-intentioned, that they understood the problems, were trying to solve them. But, unfortunately, they are not solving them. They're going in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
But she pointed out we wanted it to remove barriers to voting,
mm-hmm.
concerned about long lines in some precincts, which I believe she was talking about getting the resource allocation better.
More machines so we don't have these kind of long lines and so forth.
Yes,
and
specifically she mentioned how there were long lines in some of the precincts with minority voters and no waiting in other lines with white voters. And so she was talking. And that's one of the things that the bill encourages the EAC to do is create resource allocation guidelines so that
mm-hmm.
you don't have long lines in one precinct and cross the street and there's no lines at all.
In the white districts, but in the minority African-American districts, people are lined up around the block. That's just a coincidence, Ellen. Why do you point that stuff out? Are you you and Hillary are some kind of conspiracy theorists.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's just a coincidence. Brother. So she gave testimony on that. On what basis?
She was talking about the goals, and one of the goals is to ensure that 21st century reform uses 21st century technology to help enfranchise rather than disenfranchise.
Okay.
So that was one of the overriding themes was what technology can we use to make democracy safe?
Uh-huh.
And as no one brought up the idea that the way you can make democracy safe is by having everything as open as possible and have citizens observing and have everything completely observable. It seems like they're trying to figure out what kind of technology can we use that is going to take care of this so that we don't have to have citizens taking care of it.
Yeah, here's some technology. Two legs, a couple of eyeballs, and watch the damn ballots and watch the damn machines and watch everything and everybody. There's your technology. Oh, yeah, and a piece of paper and a pencil and a box.
Yep.
That's the technology.
So Hillary is the only person who brought up the vile performance benchmarks, the undervoting issue, where Congress finds that
very quickly, Ellen, because we got 30 seconds here. We got to get out.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Is that all we've got entirely?
Stick around. Well, I'll pick you up on the other side of this commercial. Sit tight.
Okay.
We'll hit this point real quick when we come back. You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. Ellen Tyson from VotersUnite.org back with us right after this.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war?
You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Matt, I really believe that the pagan and the abortionists, the feminists, and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, time for our last traffic report of the night. We're going to take a look at Campbell, southbound 17 between Hamilton Avenue, and it looks like the Cat's Restaurant, extremely slow traffic. The reason, we had an earlier crash, and so it's really caused some major headaches, to say the least. And if you're traveling in Pajaro right now, San Juan Road, at Salinas Road, we have an injury crash. I can tell you it's a solo vehicle that actually overturned and then landed back on its wheels. We have fire crews, paramedics, and CHP on scene there. Now, let's take a look at Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp still shut down, 24 hours there for long-term road work. Other than that, just be advised that if in San Jose, for example, we got the Grand Prix street closures that will go in effect tonight. And so if you're traveling into downtown San Jose, be advised about those various street closures. This report brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas.
Message from Diane Feinstein this time for Ellen Tyson. Stay away from her, Ellen Tyson, and her election reform bill. We're speaking, we've got just a few more minutes here before we're wrapping up for the day, and we may have time for a special guest here in studio very shortly. Ellen Tyson of VotersUnite.org. I know you wanted to make a point about that Feinstein bill you're so enthralled with, election
reform
bill.
Well, actually, I wanted to make a couple of points about the hearing. The first one is, it seems to me that what all of these people were doing is addressing symptoms. And there was very little attention, if any, paid to principles, the principles of democracy. And so there was nothing said about all of this power that the bill hands to the United States Election Assistance Commission. Mm. There were a couple of allusions made to, well, you know, things should be handled at the local level. But nothing was, I don't remember if I don't think the Election Assistance Commission was even brought up. The four presidential appointees who were established by HAVA in order to provide assistance to the states,
right.
This bill hands them enormous amount of authority, responsibility, and power, which they have shown repeatedly they are incapable of handling.
Well,
nothing was said about that.
Of course. They don't. I don't know if they don't understand it or if they're just fine. You know, one of the things Dianne Feinstein did was allow these two latest commissioners to go through her commission, her committee, without even a hearing. And I hate to cut you off.
Have one other really important point.
Okay, quick, 30 seconds, and then
okay.
I'll give you a good out.
Doug Lewis said, love your handling of the source code issue, actually making it revealed rather than open. There was absolutely nothing else said about the fact that this bill allows corporate proprietary rights to supersede citizen rights over their own election.
Yeah, not, you don't mean revealed rather than open. You mean concealed rather than opened, right?
That's what he said was love. He just like that, love, your handling of the source code issue. This is the one that is going to completely make it impossible for citizens to get any information about their election.
Of course he loves it.
And
it's going to stay secret, and no one's going to see it. And his cronies and his friends at the EAC will see it. And by the way, Ellen, tomorrow on this very show, we are going to have Tova Wang, who was gagged by the EAC. She has now been ungagged. She can speak about the voter fraud report that she gave them that they buried, then they rewrote, and then they shut her up for 6 months. She's going to speak, I think, for the first time tomorrow, and we're going to take calls, and we're going to be with her for a half hour, 45 minutes on this show, and we will talk plenty about that Elections Assistance Commission and what a joke that is.
Voter fraud came up repeatedly in the hearing as if it were a real problem, too.
As if it were. Imagine that. Well, we'll have much more on that tomorrow. For more from Ellen Tyson, please go to votersunite.org. Check out her analysis of the Dianne Feinstein bill. And, of course, as I can twist her arm, perhaps she can guest blog some of this stuff for us over at bradblog.com. I'm working on her. I'm working on her.
Thanks for having me on, Brad.
Hey, thanks, Ellen. Sorry about the constraints of time here. All right, Ellen Tyson, votersunite.org. Go check check out the site. And, of course, the daily voting news from John Gideon of votersunite.org, which will be up very very shortly, as soon as we go off the air this evening. All right, you heard me tease tomorrow. Tova Wang is going to be with us, ungagged for the first time. Also, PBC military affairs contributor Scott Dick will be with us. Faz Shakir, again, from thinkprogress.org, or someone from ThinkProgress. Is it Faz? Oh, good. I like Faz. Christina Johnson of Sierra Club, and any other guests and so forth that we scare up with breaking news and whatnot. And along those lines, I should add, there is some breaking news right now. Over at rawstory.com, AP is reporting that documents contradict Alberto Gonzalez's sworn testimony, which may, in fact, lead to perjury hearings. Are you surprised? Before we bring in our very special guest here in just a moment, I want to make sure I have time to thank out at Mission Control, producer PBC producer Katrina Rill, and our engineer, working for the man, working hard, Brian Urban out there. Agent 99, keeping an eye on the Brad Blog chat room. Thank you so much, Agent 99. Alan Breslauer for helping us out with some audio and video for today's show. He's also a frequent Brad Blog guest contributor. Go check his work out over there. Who else did I... Desi Doyen. Thank you, Desi. She's here in studio, really making sure that all of this happens. Okay, before we go here, we got a very special guest. He's actually in studio here with us, and I believe he is one of George W. Bush's top advisors. He prefers to be known just as Alistair, and he joins us here for now. Alistair, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you, by the way, for all the very good advice you've been giving to George W. Bush. Is that are you the one responsible for his policies?
Actually, I'm Desi's nephew.
Oh, you are. Oh, so you're not a Bush policy advisor. Okay, well, with that in mind, then, what do you are you a George W. Bush fan?
No.
You're not? Why not? What? No, don't prompt him. Don't help him. Nobody's going to... What do you have against George W. Bush?
Well, I've read a lot about him.
You have?
A lot of the books said that he was the most selfish president we've ever had.
Really? And how old are you, Alistair?
9.
And you've read books that said he's the most selfish president we've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I believe you. If you say so, do you remember what the books were?
No idea.
Harry Potter. It was Harry Potter that said it, wasn't it? Didn't Harry Potter, they talk about George W. Bush being selfish? Was that in there? You don't know.
That's Harry Potter, not George W. Bush.
Oh, okay. Well, so now who do you, if you don't like George W. Bush, are you going to be voting this year for next year for president?
I'm 9.
Well, yeah, so you're not going to vote? How old do you have to be to vote?
18.
Oh, 18. Wait, is it 18? Yeah, it is. That's going to say 21. That's a whole different. So you got to be 18. You are very smart. So if you could vote, who would you vote for next time? Have you picked a candidate yet? Someone you like next time?
Not really.
No? How about your mom?
She's not running for president.
Oh, why isn't she running?
Because she doesn't want to run.
Okay. Is she old enough to run? Are you old enough to run for president, Mom? You were born out of the country. Oh, you're a foreigner. Oh, okay. Are you allowed to vote?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm not happy with any of the presidential candidates we got out there. I've got a few choices who I might be interested in. Maybe we'll have time to talk about that on another show. Now that Alistair's mom ain't running, now I'm really out of luck. All right. Another scintillating 3 hours in the can for the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to thank you all for joining us. We're going to be back for two more days here on duty. Glad to be here. Looking forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As more soldiers return from Iraq and Afghanistan with physical and emotional scars, how they're treated has become a major concern. Today, a commission chaired by Bob Dole and Donna Shalala recommended sweeping changes. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Wanting to close the book on reports of scandalous treatment of wounded U.S. military personnel, President Bush embraced the proposals of his advisory panel.
And I've instructed Secretary Gates and Secretary Nicholson to look at every one of these recommendations and to take them seriously and to implement them.
Mr. Bush spoke to reporters after a jog around the South Lawn with a couple of wounded warriors who lost one or both of their legs in Iraq and Afghanistan. He said any wounded soldier deserves the best possible care America can offer. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
The biggest issue right now is the treatment of wounds to the psyche. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports on a congressional hearing today.
So far, more than 52,000 Iraq War veterans have been evaluated for the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder at facilities run by Veterans Affairs. But only 19,000 PTSD claims have actually been approved. And what those who testified today argued was that this shows that sometimes these claims aren't being taken seriously, and that instead they're being told, you don't have PTSD, you actually have a pre-existing personality disorder, and we're not going to treat you.
The latest research on obesity might surprise you. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says a major new study finds relationships might be a bigger factor than genetics.
Nobody knows for sure why this effect is happening, but the theory is that your friend, who you may admire, actually can help change your norm, your sense of what is acceptable. So if your friend gets overweight, then you may think, it's okay for me to get overweight too.
It might work the other way.
The good news is that this research suggests if friends can help you get fat, they should also be able to help you get thin. For example, sharing time at the gym together instead of sharing a cheeseburger.
For many Iraqis, today's victory by their national soccer team advancing for the first time to the Asian Cup Finals was cause for celebration. But reporter Pete Gao in Baghdad says insurgents saw an opportunity for mayhem.
After about 2 hours following the game, there was two separate suicide bombings in different parts of Baghdad where suicide bombers infiltrated crowds of fans who were cheering.